Thank you very much for the invitation to give a presentation here. The invitation reached me relatively late, but I hope I can contribute here. And now I'm waiting for my slides. Oh, thank you. Stefan introduced me referring to my former research on low technology innovations in small and medium-sized companies especially. I think that's still a very important topic, and we could use this topic also here concerning the future perspectives of innovation policy. But now I will refer to my experiences which I have made as a social scientist in the last several years. Dealing with the development and the discourse of digitization technologies, Industry 4.0 in Germany, as well as artificial intelligence developments, and in a labor sociological perspective, the consequences of the social consequences, consequences for jobs, tasks, and qualifications. That means the example here I refer to is our theoretical as well as empirical considerations about the consequences, or better said, about the tensions between technological development, digitization on the one hand, and the social consequences, social effects on the other hand. I will sketch out this topic in 4 points. First, I will describe digitization and Industry 4.0 as a promising technology. Second, I will come to our hypothesis, or to some hypothesis, or central findings concerning the development of work. And then point 3 and point 4 are nearly conclusions which may be discussed also later. The third point is that Industry 4.0 digitization can be regarded as a socio-technical design project. And the consequence is a fourth point concerning challenges for innovation policy. I would refer here to the old well-known term of transdisciplinarity. I come to the first point. Digitization as a promising technology. You may nearly all know this very influential publication by Brynjolfsson and McAfee from 2014. They speak of a second machine age, which is emerging based on the fast development of IT technologies. That means the processing power of the technologies exploded. Very important, the costs went down very fast. And we are currently, that's their main argument, but we know that's not wrong, so to say, that digitization takes place in all areas of daily life, of economic life, of technological development. And concerning the consequences for work, they argue that we witness now a disruptive change of work. That means professions of all kinds, from lawyers to truck drivers, and I would add also university professors, may be sooner or later replaced by the new technologies. And especially not only manual labor, but also intellectual work will be automated sooner or later. That's, so to say, the general perspective. And you know, the German version of this international debate is the concept of Industry 4.0, which was introduced in the years between 2011 and 2013. And this concept, this technological vision, was pushed at least by three very influential interest groups. First, computer sciences with a strong focus on production technology. Second, involved were technology-intensive companies, which were in the same way producers as well as users of these new technologies, looking for innovative potentials and looking for new markets and new customers. And finally, from my point of view, innovation policy was a very important and dominant driver in this development. Innovation policy at that time, especially in the field of production technology and industrial development, was looking, and that's a quote from a high-ranking representative representative of the Federal Ministry of Research, we were looking for a lighthouse, for a new lighthouse. We want to get rid of the old diffusion-oriented technological procedures. We are looking for a lighthouse which can be presented convincingly in the public debate about tax-financed innovations, etc., etc. That is the situation, and since then, this discourse is, so to say, running, and the topic of artificial intelligence has been added to this perspective. The promises, and therefore that's the reason why I spoke of promising technology, the promises and expectations in a technological level can be described very briefly with buzzwords like connectivity, big data, artificial intelligence, and Internet of Things. The basic assumption is that these technological potentials offer the possibility for radical innovations in production processes as well on the level of products, and that we are currently witnessing, due to the developmental perspectives, a comprehensive, a fast-running virtualization of all relevant economic processes. The economic expectations linked to these visions are very, very strong and very clear. Proponents expect dramatic increases of productivity. Another expectation is that the new technologies allow, so to say, a step towards a stronger customization of products. One label is here batch size one, highly individualized products, so to say. That therefore new markets and new demands can be created. And also the big hope is that the new technologies allow an increasing resource efficiency in manufacturing and production in general. Concerning the consequences for work, and that's my second point here, the consequences for work are discussed in the current situation with at least two fundamental perspectives. The first one can be termed as a very pessimistic or even dystopian perspective. And the proponents fear that we will face, so to say, high levels of job losses. You may know this very influential and famous study by the British colleagues Fry and Osborne, who predict that at least 47% of all jobs within the next 10 years will be automated. It's also feared that we will face a fast process of de-skilling, that new kinds of stress and employee surveillance will take place, that an unregulated phase of flexibilization of work will take place, and also precarization and social degradation, and in the end, an increasing social inequality will happen. That's the, so to say, the bad perspective. On the other hand, we have a better perspective. We can turn, so to say, all these arguments. One can say we have a utopian perspective, and that's a point within the discussion, within the German discussion of Industry 4.0. Here, the main argument is, of course, we will soon, in the short term, we will have job losses, but on the long term, we have a strong compensation of this job losses. New jobs will be created. We will also have an upgrading of jobs and qualifications and skills, the optimization of work processes through the new technologies will lead to a reduction of stress, will lead to a better work-life balance, flexibilization will be regulated, and in general, industrial work will come into a better situation, will be re-evaluated, and in a general far-reaching perspective, some proponents speak even digitization leads to an overcoming of capitalism. We may discuss it later, this perspective. Based on our based on our own research findings, we speak concerning the development prospects of work of at least four divergent scenarios which may exist side by side and which don't exclude each other, which may exist on the sectoral level side by side, which may also exist on a company level. The first one we call automation or substitution of work. That means here we have the situation, Frey and Osborne have already predicted it, that especially low-skilled work and simple work, highly routinized work, will be substituted very fast, and highly skilled people will remain. That means we have a substitution of a certain part of work, and sort of the better work will remain. The second scenario we call upgrading. That means here also that low-skilled work will be replaced by technology, but the rest, the whole rest of employees will be upgraded due to the better information potential, to the complexity, et cetera, of the new technology. That means here we have the potential to design new patterns of work organizations. We call it, for instance, swarm organizations. That means different specialists work autonomously together. That's, so to say, part of this positive perspective. Third scenario we call polarization. Polarization is a strong topic on the macroeconomic level, especially in the international debate concerning income inequality, differentiation of labor market structures, etc. Here I speak about the microeconomic level of individual companies, and here we have some strong evidences that this scenario is a relatively important one. It means that starting from the middle level of middle qualifications, we have an erosion of this middle level. First, we have an upgrading of some jobs of this middle level to experts, to technicians, or to engineering jobs. Second part of this level will be automated due to its routinized character. And a third part will be downgraded, will be dequalified, and here new, low-skilled jobs will be created in this perspective. And then we speak of a fourth scenario, we call it delimitation or flexibilization in the dimensions of work organization, in the dimensions of location, in the dimension of time. This scenario is strongly linked to all three other scenarios. And here we find flexibilization tendencies, for instance, within companies, but also flexibilization tendencies outside companies. That means that outsourcing activities will take place faster. And here we find, for instance, such work patterns like gig work or crowd work, which led during the last years to an intensive discussion, especially in Germany. This are, so to say, our perspective. And now I come to my third point, and this may mark a certain conclusion. The conclusion means that we are, of course, currently in a situation which can be described as a situation of technology push. But as our different scenarios show, we cannot speak of an automatic, deterministic effect concerning the development of qualifications and skills. There is no specific, or better said, one best way of digital labor and digital work. That means we have to differentiate between the technological potential on the one hand and the social consequences of the other hand. And I can illustrate it very simply by referring to innovation aspects like the differentiation between innovation, diffusion, and implementation. And it's clear that in the step of innovation, the new potentials are created within laboratories, in the design departments, et cetera, et cetera. But on the level or in the phase of implementation, there the actual decisions will take place about the patterns of technological use, about the consequences for work organization, et cetera, et cetera. And both aspects are not directly interlinked. And I think one of the big mistakes, for instance, of studies like the study by Fry and Osborne is that they overestimated the potentials which were invented in the design departments or elsewhere, and they put it together with a real implementation process. And I think you cannot do it, because the determining factors for implementation are, of course, management decision processes, are the existing, already existing structures of companies, the traditions of companies, and especially also the influences of political action on several levels. That means to understand or to analyze this perspective in a more systematic way, we refer here to the old concept in work sociology as well in ergonomics, to the concept of socio-technical system. This concept, this approach, includes that, or says that a production or a work process at least includes four strongly interlinked elements: human, technology, and organization. And these three interdependent elements are also embedded in societal and regulative frameworks, in company basic decision processes, and as well as in the structures of value chains. And one of the main messages of this concept is that when we start to design work, when we start to design Industry 4.0 as a whole, we should not look only on the technological element, and we should not only look at the labor or work element, but we should try to match all elements together and to pursue a strategy which is called by the authors or by the inventors of this concept as a joint optimization process. That's the first very important point. And the second very important point linked to this concept is that a socio-technical approach means that we can realize economic efficiency as well as, qualification, skill-oriented and human-oriented work patterns. This leads me to my final point, to the fourth point, concerning the challenges for innovation policy. I think this socio-technical approach requests, a holistic perspective on the development of technological elements, economic elements, and social elements. And here I would like to refer to the well-known term of transdisciplinarity. Transdisciplinarity here means that new innovative ecosystems should be pushed, should be further developed. That means we should try to open existing highly disciplinary, sectoral, or industry-specific innovation patterns to synthesize, to integrate the different knowledge bases. A further aspect is that means here the cooperation on the scientific level. That means interdisciplinary cooperation, especially, for instance, the cooperation between social sciences in the field of production technology, engineering sciences, and computer sciences. In Dortmund, we are currently producing or currently establishing, I hope, a good example for such interdisciplinary cooperation. And then, of course, heterogeneous actors from the economic sectors should be, pushed towards more cooperation, not only the well-known old supplier-producer linkages, but we should combine companies from different sectors, including innovative startups, and the user experiences are also indispensable. And finally, we should include representatives of the civil society. That means transdisciplinarity in a broad sense should be systematically promoted by innovation policy. Now I come to my last slide. And I would like, these are more questions than statements, I would like to ask what's the situation, currently situation, as far as I can see it, I must add, of the German innovation policy. On the strategic level, and Mr. Bayer already indicated it, we have, so to say, a relatively comprehensive strategy, especially when I refer to the last brochure of High Tech 2025, the title. Here, the main focus is on networking, on collaboration, on creation of new innovative ecosystems. A quote is, favorable conditions for innovation should be created. Also, so to say, new ways of sort of the knowledge creation and overcoming sectoral structures, etc., should be pushed. And finally, the social issues, the grand societal issues, are so to say underlined and are so to say put forward. On the other hand, in practice, I still see a strong separation between the technological level and the R&D activities focusing on, so to say, social issues, especially the work issue. We have a strong focus, especially in the new artificial intelligence strategy, on technological development. And we have, and that's as a social scientist, for me, it was very surprising, we have only a massive funding of the activities dealing with R&D activities in the field of work organization, the field of skill development, in especially also in the field of small and medium-sized companies. But I think both strands are still not really linked together, not systematically linked together, due to different logics of funding, to different patterns of R&D activities and project organization patterns, etc., etc. And I think this aspect should be so to say discussed, and we are still so to say in the situation that we should find here solutions which come to a better socio-technical so to say solution of this big technical as well as societal challenges we are confronted with. Thank you very much.